This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Adam Ritz here with The Adam Ritz Show. We're covering public affairs, and we do it with our good friend Jay Baker on the phone. Jay, how are you, brother?
I am doing well. We're getting into that time of the year where it's actually kind of fun to do things and be outside. And if you drive somewhere in your car, you don't have to have 12 layers of clothes on, you know?
It's warming up. We are entering sort of a black hole for me as far as sports viewing goes. The NCAA basketball tournament is over. I do enjoy Major League Baseball to a point, maybe some golf, but really I have nothing to watch until September 1st when college football starts. So I'm in that black hole right now, Jay, which means yard work.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you almost feel a little snarky admitting that you're in a black hole because you don't have sports that you particularly love to watch, because I'm sure that people would infer that the male creature on the planet apparently is just so sports-oriented they can't think of other things to do with their lives.
Well, thankfully, I'm not that into video games. I do know there are gentlemen my age even that are hours per day in the basement on their handheld console playing their video game of choice, much to the dismay of their spouse. I don't have that problem. My sports viewing is at a premium from football season through college basketball season, but I guess I have a little bit of NBA to watch. I really don't get into that until game 7 of the finals.
Yeah, there you go. So, I love the World Series. Yeah, it's weeks away.
Yeah, game 7 of the World Series I'm into. Maybe the Masters, that's big this weekend. You know, with the weather changing and golf being on the tip of everyone's tongue, Jay, I thought I'd give a shout out to all those people right now that are planning their golf outings. We are just a few weeks away from golf outing season. One of our main themes we consistently talk about is using your entertainment dollar to raise money for charity, and a golf outing is a great way to do it. Get a foursome together, pay the registration fee, take the day off work, tell your boss you're doing it for a great cause, and go play golf for 5 or 6 hours. You get a meal out of it too, and you raise money for charity. And all those people designing and planning those golf outings, they're doing that now. And actually have been doing it over the past several months. So all that hard work coming to fruition now that the snow has melted and the weather is getting nicer. So maybe we should have a public affairs Jay Baker, Adam Ritz golf outing to raise money for charity. You think anybody would show up?
I think a lot of people would show up, and then it gives us an opportunity to rent a really elaborate PA with a microphone so that we can hound people as they tee off and attempt a putt.
What is your best golf story? I imagine you don't seem like a golfer to me, but I bet you have played enough golf in your lifetime that you have at least one good golf story.
Well, this is going to sound tragic, of course, but I actually used to play quite a bit of golf, and a very good friend of mine insisted that we take pretty extensive golf lessons. And this was right when golf was getting serious, you know, with the photographic swing analysis and golf simulators and everything. And for about a year and a half, I was really into golf. I get this is not a great story, but if you are hearing this and you think, I'd really like to get good at golf, this is a golden age of people learning about golf. There's so many resources but a very intuitive coach pulled me aside one time and he goes, look, he goes, I know you. He goes, you'll go crazy. If you really start playing golf, you'll spend so much money on clubs, your wife will leave you.
That's true.
So I'm not discouraging anybody, and that's not a earth-shattering story, but he was probably not incorrect. It can be somewhat of a bottomless pit. So, yes, I would urge everyone to play golf, have fun. It's a great way to get outdoors, but just have a perspective on it. You know how that goes. I know you play a little golf. My guess is you have very moderately priced golf equipment.
I do. And you can get a nice set of clubs, at a Target or a Meijer, to be honest with you. If you're not a professional golfer, if you're just a weekend hacker, I mean, those are more than nice enough.
Oh, yeah.
For the score you're going to be posting. Here's a great golf story for you, Jay. Back in my modern rock radio days, my program director was a great golfer. And the record labels knew that. And so when they'd have a band come through town, they would suggest to the band, hey, you should go play golf with the guys over at this radio station. So there was a band called Incubus. Do you remember Incubus?
Oh, yes.
When they came through town on tour, it was like a standing golf date. I would go play golf. My boss and I, we'd go play golf with the guys at Incubus.
Wow.
It's crazy to be.
I know it is crazy. Well, and it's funny you brought that up because that's what kind of got us started. Your boss was such a big golfer. We were like, hey, this looks like fun. And we played many a fine afternoon with your boss.
Yeah. And then so you do a lot of those celebrity golf outings. And more recently, I did a celebrity golf. I wasn't the celebrity. A friend of mine actually put on the event and invited me to come play in a foursome. And guess who the celebrity was in my foursome? I'll say his name. Not necessarily a household name, but you probably will know this name. And once we describe him, everybody will know this celebrity. Christopher McDonald. Do you know that name?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
How do you know Christopher McDonald?
I know him through there was some type of event that we did. And pardon me for not having a vivid memory of it, but he was, quote, the MC / celeb for that event.
Okay. Well, for me, it was in my generation. He's been in 1,000 movies. The movie that most resonates with me and my generation is Happy Gilmore. He was Shooter McGavin. He
yes.
was the bad guy in Happy Gilmore. So I got to play golf with Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, you know, he's had a lot of fun when Happy Gilmore 2 came out.
Yeah.
He had a lot of fun with promoting that movie. And of course, he made a cameo appearance. And yeah, anytime you can hang with Shooter McGavin, who I think was perfectly cast in Happy Gilmore.
Perfectly cast. And he got a kick. I'm a big 80s movies fan. And I know probably a little bit too much about 80s movies. It'd be nice if I knew something about something important. But he got a kick out of the fact that I knew he was in Grease 2 with Michelle Pfeiffer.
And, holy cow.
And he was also in an 80s movie called Where the Boys Are 84, sort of a beach movie that was filmed in Fort Lauderdale.
That's funny.
The humble beginnings of Christopher McDonald. If you can get him to play your celebrity golf outing, I highly recommend that. Okay, Jay, enough with the golf. What do you have?
Well, it's kind of official. I'm not a big fan of hanging on every poll that is asked of Americans, but it's kind of good to get sort of the temperature of how people are feeling. And a latest Gallup poll indicates that about 28% of American workers right now think right now is a good time to find a job. So what about the other percentage? Well, 72% say it's not a particularly good time. This survey falls in line with the Federal Reserve's recent report showing that while the U.S. economy is in good shape, and it is, the labor markets remain a little sluggish. So now may not be the best time to change jobs.
Well, I'm going to be part of that 72%. I say I don't want to find a new job. I hope I don't have to find a new job.
Yeah.
I want to keep my job.
Well, and you and I are sort of in that age group of going, hey, if you're largely satisfied by where you live, how you live, it may not be, you know, I think when I was 25 years old, I was in crusader mode, must have better job, must do this, must do that. Now I've reached a point where you go, no, the grass is cut. The mortgage payment is taken care of this month. Let's just live our lives, you know?
Less work. Less.
Yes.
Let's do less.
Of course, you know, part of the importance of doing this show is to make sure we pass this information on to you. Consumer Reports warns that the latest scam is fake product recall texts going out to your phones.
Scam alert.
We've always talked about
scam alert.
Yeah.
Okay, please.
These scammers. Oh, no, but no, I'm glad you said that. And you're right. It needs an alert tone because scammers do tend to prey on something that would cause you fear and something that you feel like you should act on immediately. So what they've done is crafted these product recall texts and then send them out so that your thought process is, oh my goodness, I may be utilizing something that's dangerous, or I gave someone a gift that's dangerous. One shopper caught on when a suspicious Amazon recall message didn't match anything in her account. Now, you and I would say, duh, but you and I know too, the average individual's buying multiple things online. You don't remember everything.
That's true. Yeah. Some people have so many cardboard boxes on their front porch, they would have no idea how many packages they've ordered or received in the last month, especially if you've come to the point in your life where you just would rather stay home than drive to the store. So, yeah, I can see a lot of people getting had by this alert telling you that there's a problem with something you just bought because you can't remember what you just bought.
You cannot remember. Experts say that real recalls won't randomly text you asking you for information. So while you might, there's the possibility you might get a text that says, hey, this item you bought is being recalled. They certainly wouldn't ask you for your personal information. That's between you and the company that you bought it from. So always double check. Adam is so correct about this one. Make sure you go to the official website, and most of them have a frequently asked question, or certainly they have enough information on the website to help you determine, is this accurate or not?
You know, those driving ones, I have a scam story for you here, Jay.
Sure.
You know the ones, the toll booth, you get the text message
Yes.
that you owe money at a toll booth. Well, I was receiving toll messages that I owed some tolls in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were real because I had driven through Chicago and I knew I owed some tolls. So I got on their website to pay my tolls and I did. Well, then I kept getting these messages that I still owed money. And I went to the website and my account associated with my license plate said I owed zero money. And what had happened, Jay, is upon further investigation, I did owe the money. And I, in my public affairs radio caution of not wanting to get scammed, since I put it off and didn't pay them, they took the money that I owed them out of the account of the website, and they sent me to a collections agency.
Wow.
So I had to try. I did track this down and pay the. It was a nominal amount, $50 or so. And had I not paid that, it would have really affected my credit. And who knows, you know, how much harder it would have been with fines down the road to get that paid off. So I guess there's a lesson here learned, especially by me, that you can't just assume that every single thing you get is a scam. Every notice, bill, charge you get, you can't just look at it and go, oh, that's probably a scam. I'm not paying that. Because it may end up in a collections agency someday.
Yeah, we lead busy enough lives. As you just pointed out, you think, okay, did I, didn't I? I can't remember. And they are relying on you. Most of the things, though, will not ask you for personal information. However, I am glad you paid that, because I would hate for this show to originate from a prison.
Yeah, that's right.
He seemed friendly enough, but those unpaid tolls, he owed society a debt.
You know, Jay, I keep getting this scam alert every month from a mortgage company that says I owe them several thousands of dollars every month for what they call a mortgage.
That is a total scam.
What a scam. I'm not paying it.
What a great idea. This show has really helped some people out. So be aware. The scams are getting to the point where you can't remember yes, no, maybe. Always check back with the company that you made the original purchase. Check their website and the official app. Make sure, because we don't want you to be a target for fraudsters.
And please pay your mortgage.
There you go. Please do. Yes. If you enjoy your home, we highly suggest, for the sake of your credit score and the enjoyment of your home. Like for me personally, boy, do I love the fact that I walk into my house and I don't immediately owe any money, at least for the next 28 days
You got it covered for that month.
For that month. Hey, here's kind of an interesting thing. I thought about this one as I was putting the show together. And, you know, we tend not to think in terms of the post office, in my humble opinion, from living here in the great United States. But we tend to use the post office potentially to send out Christmas cards or birthday cards and things of that nature. We don't think of it in terms of our go-to company for packages and letters, because I feel like with electronic filing of taxes and email, we don't use the post office as often. But guess what? Post office is there, and they're actually in a very dire strait with money. Have you heard about this?
I have not heard this. No, I do quite a bit of mailing. My post office is walkable from my office, and I'd say once a month I walk over there to ship something, and every time I go there, it's packed with people shipping and receiving. So maybe anomaly.
No, I am glad to hear that. I tend to be a little out of orbit with my local post office. I'm about a mile away, and I tend to ship with some of these package companies because that store is much closer and probably, I don't know, $5 a package more. But to me, it's the convenience, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought this was somewhat intriguing. The post office is warning the country it may be unable to pay its workers and vendors by February 2027. Ooh. The Postmaster General, who is a real guy, he probably will not lead any type of military operation, but he is the Postmaster General. His name, David Steiner.
Okay.
He appeared before the House Oversight Committee and shared that at its current run rate, the Postal Service will be out of cash in less than 12 months. So they are asking Congress to act quickly. There had been a move to privatize all or part of the post office about 5 years ago, and that really didn't go anywhere, but we may need to revisit that. So it would be hard to imagine the post office in private hands, but that may be where we go.
It's really possible. I mean, the digital world that we've been living in for decades now, we may see a time where we're explaining to people what the post office was the same way we describe what a cassette or an 8-track was.
Well, the brilliance of the post office, and they include that in this article, is that you put something in the post office, or in the post office, my goodness, what an awkward phrase. You put something in the mailbox, or your own mailbox gets picked up by your letter carrier, and it could go anywhere in the United States as long as the proper postage, correct address. So you're talking about a delivery service for packages and mail that works 6 days a week around the entire year. So it's kind of impressive. It's expensive, but impressive.
It is. Well, we'll see what happens when Congress steps in, and we'll see how they save the post office.
We've actually discovered a TikTok trend that is good for you, because we do mention that several TikTok trends not only are dangerous, but are potentially harmful to your health. This one is interesting. It's the thing, the TikTok trend is called silent walking. It's about ditching your headphones to take a more mindful walk. You actually get away from music and sound. Have you given this a try?
I do. Melissa and I, we go on walks. I used to always bring a speaker with me, and we'd Bluetooth some tunes. And she suggested one time that she just would rather listen to nature and to silence. And that was several years ago. And since then, I haven't brought the speaker in years, and we listen, you know, to the birds and the trees and the grass growing, and it is peaceful. Now, is this a TikTok trend? You have to, when you're walking through silence, do you film yourself and then post it on TikTok?
Well, you know, if you're an influencer, you got to do what influencers do. But this particular trend is good for your heart. By walking in silence, you help calm your nervous system, lower stress hormones, and boost benefits like improved blood pressure and circulation. So they are saying that people say that they have a stronger sense of connection with themselves if they do silent walking. So if you're a walker and you've had those headphones in, and you and I know you're listening to ZZ Top's Greatest Hits, but it's not good for your heart.
Not good for your heart. How about
it's
this?
It's only good for Billy Gibbons.
Jay, are you suggesting that if they're on a walk in their neighborhood and the wife starts to speak, should the man say silence?
Silence.
It's for my heart, great. Honey. Please stop talking. It's for my heart health.
I think that at my house, if I did that, the chances of having to visit a healthcare facility
would go
or
up.
Some type of injury would go up abruptly.
It would negatively affect your health if you told her to be quiet on your walk. Okay.
Hey, we're going to share some cool insider information. Have you ever gone to bed, you lay there and you go, I just can't sleep?
Mm-hmm.
But undoubtedly, if you're like me, you hear about all these cool techniques and you go, well, I don't know. Can it work or not? But this is the latest trend. This is supposedly a military sleep method. And no, it's not dangerous at all.
Is this waterboarding? Because I've heard of this.
No, this is not good. Waterboarding, it's like going to a water park, only it's a lot more intense. No, this is a military sleep method, because you and I know there's so many cool people in the military, of course. They know how to get to sleep. This supposedly originated pilots came up with this because a lot of times air crews that are assigned to aircraft carriers, they're on a set rotation. So when they have downtime, they definitely want to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And here is the technique, Adam. I'm going to share it with you.
I'm ready.
And our listeners. And trust me, you are going to be ready for anything and everything because you're going to go to sleep in just 2 minutes.
Okay. I'm ready to go to sleep right now.
You're ready to go. Get yourself ready. Get yourself comfortable in your bed. So assume a very comfortable position. Relax your body from head to toe as much as possible. And here's what's interesting. You'll actually find it just a little bit difficult to relax, especially if you've been trying to sleep. Go ahead.
It's difficult to relax if you're doing what now? If you're trying to go to sleep?
Just you're trying to get to sleep, yeah, because you're thinking to yourself, God, I've got to get to sleep.
Yeah, like the pressure's on. Okay.
Yeah, it's just harder to relax, in my humble opinion. But now you've relaxed your body from head to toe as much as possible. Now tense up every part of your body, starting with the top of your head and going all the way down to your toes.
Okay. Okay. Like a little miniature workout.
Yeah. You've relaxed. Now you've tensed up. Now you let go and relax completely. And then you repeat this phrase. All right. This is the whole part of the part that really works. You repeat the phrase, "Do not think," over and over, and it will relax your mind.
You have to say those words in your head over and over. Do not think. Do not think.
Do not think. Do not think. Do not think. It relaxes your mind, so you've tensed up, you've relaxed, you repeat the phrase, "Do not think." Apparently, if you do this correctly, this technique works for 96% of the population, or that's the figure they're going with.
I work with a guy, I'm pretty sure he walks around all day and says that to himself, do not think, do not think, do not think.
I would guess who he is, but we'd all get in trouble since this is a national show. But yes, I have met some of your colleagues, and I know at least two that probably I do not think.
I'm going to try this tonight. I like the tense up your entire body and then relax your entire body. I think if you did that 2-3 times in a row, even if you're not saying do not think in your head, it's like that miniature little workout is going to be enough exertion just to send you over the edge into your sleep phase.
That is the way they are describing this. And also part of this is you think in terms of top of your head all the way down to your toes.
I like it. All right. We got about a minute left. Do you have a quickie?
Real quickie. They are telling individuals that reducing stress in your life may be the number one thing to do for your health and super quick. They are just recommending such very easy to do items, but certainly worth keeping in mind. Always eat as well as you can, always hydrate, and have consistent sleep. And you can use the technique we just described to help you get that consistent sleep. But just once again, stress, it's out of control for most people. You can help control it with those easy-to-remember things.
And if anybody accuses you of being brain dead, just say, Jay Baker told me to say, do not think, over and over and over inside my head.
Do not think, and don't try to sleep while behind the wheel.
Yes, use these techniques when you're in your bed, not behind the wheel. All right, Jay Baker, thanks for helping me to think today. Some fun stuff we got to cover. And if our listeners would like to hear this show or any of our previous shows in podcast form, you can. They're all on demand right on the website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics audio out-of-home marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.